So, first and foremost, I'd like to apologize to everyone personally for the delay in the programming. My name is Tom, third member of the Coven, and it was actually by my request that Ashley and David delay production of this podcast until such a time as I could join them. Unfortunately, due to personal circumstances, I've not been able to join you, but now, thanks to the grace and wisdom of our Lord and of our Lord Satan, the stars are aligned properly, and everything is in its proper place, and I'm finally able to join, and I pray that Satan grants us courage and wisdom in this podcast and for the next few hours.
Well, I think that was a good intro.
I like that.
I didn't stick the landing, though.
You stuck the landing. You did great.
No. Thank you.
We landed.
Hi, I'm David.
Yeah. And this is Sanctum of the Dark Flame.
I apologize for missing my cue.
Don't worry, you'll get it right. You gotta say it three times.
That's our thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so here we are for our first episode in forever.
Yes.
I mean, too long.
Way too long.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all in agreement that this is long overdue.
Yes.
But it feels like the right time. It's like, this is the time to do the devil's work. And this is the time to get our message out in the open and to guide those on the burning path who feel like they're drawn to this sort of thing, and we can bring them in and guide them. You know, it's a difficult thing. I never really had that on my satanic journey. You know, there was never a guiding voice. It was very much a sort of do-it-yourself enterprise when I first started getting into this world. I was very much alone, and it was an overwhelming feeling of, you know, you're so overcome with joy and all these emotions because you're like, wow, I found Satan, of all things. Like, Satan wants me to walk the burning path with him. And then it's a difficult thing because you know that other people aren't going to understand, and, you know, the ones who do are few and far between, and I think that's what makes the connection between Satanists so very special. And that's why I'm grateful that we have this opportunity to share this with, you know, anyone who is new to this path or anyone who feels as if they're walking alone. And I just want you to know that you're never walking alone, ever.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
David.
I get to say words this time. It's been too long. I've definitely gotten questions about when we're coming back. So right. I think we've definitely...
It's a solid...
Yeah, struck a nerve in a lot of people that have a lot of questions.
Mm.
So, we are so happy to be back. Mm-hmm. You can find us on basically everywhere you would listen to any podcast.
And again, I want to sincerely apologize to any avid listeners who are really into this. It's my fault. If I must take the brunt of your resentment, then I will do so gladly.
Trust me, there's no resentment.
All right, perfect.
No.
There's no resentment, it's fine. You can also find us...
Hashtag, you can also have innocence.
Hashtag brunt of your resentment.
Brunt of your resentment, yes. That's a new podcast platform.
In fact, you might say we have a Satanist that's almost as guilty as a Catholic.
Oh,
dare I say, that might be Tom.
Oh, damn.
And he was the one that, I will say, pioneered this journey, at least had a part of pioneering this journey.
Yes.
I'm happy to have him here in person, not over some speakerphone. Fabulous. Thank you, Tom. And
thank you, AC.
Hello. My beautiful David.
Thank you, David. Thank you both for having me. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
You're very welcome.
And praise be to Lord Satan.
Yeah. Praise Satan, Lucifer.
Praise Satan. What was I going to say? The email. You can find us at sanctumofthedarkflame@gmail.com. We will answer your questions, comments, concerns.
Mm.
In the background are producers. So I can hear them chime in every once in a while.
And I want them to.
Yes.
I would very much appreciate input.
Yes. Yeah. Including our resident Christian.
No, don't you dare slander. Don't you dare slander my bed.
I actually am.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. All right,
don't you just let her just yes. be who she is and let her ask her questions.
That's pretty much what we were going for right from the beginning.
Okay. All right.
If she decides to chime in.
All right, which I do want that.
Well, yes. We welcome questions from people of all walks of faith, so we're not afraid to answer those questions, and we're not afraid to confront difficult ideas, so...
Yeah.
All of this is par for the course. And this is the thing that I feel like might be lacking a little bit within the satanic community, is like this willingness to confront difficult ideas. But, I mean, to be fair, I've been detached for a little bit, but I've been focusing very heavily on myself, and my own spiritual practices have been... I tell you, it's been one hell of a journey, and I'm looking forward to hearing from others who have been on their journeys as well.
Yeah. I actually would be very curious if you are either... a practitioner of theistic Satanism or witchcraft, theistic witchcraft.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe shoot us something.
Yes.
Tell us what your
tell us your story.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Levains need not apply.
No one is discriminated.
No one.
Okay.
That's
no,
right.
No one
no
is
one,
discriminated.
Okay.
Because that's a lawsuit, Tom.
Yeah.
That's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's a lawsuit there.
Legally, they're
yes.
Okay. That was a joke.
Yes, that was a joke.
Go fuck yourself. What? No, but
Amani, how could you say that?
Amani, Evie, how dare you?
You actually have a question, huh?
No, I have a legit question.
Yes.
I don't know if this will be edited out or not, but I thought originally Sanctum of the Dark Flame was an occult podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
And it seems more Satan oriented. And I don't mean that in any way to be like insulting, like blah blah blah, but I'm just wondering, like, is the direction, since it is
we're going into more of the occult.
Yeah, we're
gonna
stick more into the
unfortunately
occult. Yes.
Guess what your hosts are.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's just me wondering.
But don't worry,
like,
it's just a little bit biased.
We're still gonna cover
like
the
that.
Occult.
We have
in general. Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if
it was
gonna be occult specific to Satanism only.
Well,
no,
thing is that like occultism and Satanism almost go hand in hand,
and
but we have a heavy satanic preference.
Okay.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
But all aspects of occult life are explored here, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to get to all of it in
this
podcast tonight.
Hopefully we're gonna get a couple of guests.
Yeah, I hope so. So this is my first time on. How does the guest work? Like,
okay, so hopefully at some point we're going to get some guests from different aspects of the occult and different sort of religious beliefs.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
So, yeah, so hopefully...
My goal,
yeah,
I'm going to say it out loud. I'm going to try to either get a priest of the Orthodox faith, because you have no idea how strong the Eastern Orthodox faith is.
Mm.
And I am of Eastern Orthodox faith. So I would really love that. If you or anyone out there is interested, if you are of Eastern Orthodox Christianity, please reach out to us.
Mm.
I would really like to hear from you.
Mm.
Just because I came from that background, I found myself here. This is something I would be interested in talking about. Just open discussion. I don't want to argue. I don't want to debate. I just want to sit here and hear your thoughts. So if you want to come on, have a little talk, that's it. Or even Skype in, whatever. If you don't want to come to us, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, email us. We
email
have our
us.
Info up on our...
Yeah, more often.
On, we have our info up on our...
On our Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a free and open exchange of ideas. No, there's no need for conflict here. Although, I understand to a certain extent it's unavoidable, given the subject matter. But I also think that, more than anything, you shouldn't be afraid to come on, ask questions. There's nothing forbidden in Satanism. There shouldn't be anything forbidden in your faith. And so, bring it on. No, you've got questions, and hopefully we can provide some answers. We're trying to get to the bottom of this sort of thing as much as anyone else, you know. We explore the mysteries of Satan here.
I feel amusement, only because I think about my heavily Christian grandmother and other people.
And just like, I have my grandma here.
It's pretty much like, to hear that, it's almost like, in a weird way, with our faith as Christians, a contradiction, because we are taught that you will be pushing at us to, like, goad us in a way.
Yes.
To goad our faith, to be like, oh, yeah. We mean you no harm.
Yes.
Yeah, come talk to us.
Yes.
And it's always
join
like,
us.
There's this very clear boundary that's just like, yeah, that's danger. Don't go to danger. they're going to try and shake
convert
your foundation.
You and, like,
they're going to try and like put doubt, seeds of doubt
and mommy,
in your structure.
Your hand.
Don't deal with that.
Oh.
Your hand
was
raised.
Oh, sorry about that. I was just sitting here just chilling.
Okay,
all right.
You
so
understand?
What
you
I was,
scared the
what
shit
I was
out of me.
My bad. Sorry about that.
So what
okay.
I was initially getting to.
Okay.
She's like, your hand. I'm like.
Your hand.
Between
but like the parts of the drill
me,
part
like,
of me is,
between
what
me and
happened
like,
to my hand?
Oh, no.
It's like an episode of JoJo when it's just cut off.
No, what were you gonna say before, Evie?
Okay,
like,
so it's pretty much like I hear you're welcome to be like, yeah, come discuss this with us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like technically in the Christian faith, it's like avoid those
well,
avoid us.
Avoid us.
So like for you to be
stay
like, yeah, come
us.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
The Christian's like. Cat hands? Like,
yeah. Well,
really?
Yeah, it's like avoid devil worshippers.
Look, from what I found, the Catholics are cool. Everyone else,
that's how it goes? I don't think so. Yeah. The Catholics are the cool ones.
The Catholics have been, like, the calm ones.
I don't know about that.
The Catholics have been the ones with their
calm hands.
Yes.
Coming on small boys, grabbing their nether regions.
A lot of
so that's what I see about Catholics.
A lot of self-guilt.
The entire structure of Catholicism is inherently tyrannical, and for a lot of people, I mean, I don't think they really realize that. It's like you're not allowed to question certain things. You're not allowed to believe certain things. You're not allowed to talk to these people. You're not allowed to eat fucking fish on Friday unless you feel like it. It's like it's like. But and that's another
slap in the face that I'm pescatarian.
Yeah, right. Not that, but like I don't know. Our whole system is like nothing should be off limits. Forbidden concepts, ideas should be free to explore. You know, like now, understand that you should know what you're getting yourself into because the path itself, it could be somewhat dangerous, but not dangerous in the sense like you said before that. You know, oh, we're not supposed to. Like, we're not going to like take you in and torture you and try to convert you to Satanism.
Yeah.
It's more of growing up Christian, I had issues with the fact that I could not question things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my understanding from that as a kid was they do not want you to ask unproductive
questions. That might disrupt the flow of things.
No, not even
right.
that. It's more of pretty much if I was to ask a question about your faith and you're like, well, such and such is the structure of our faith and this is how it is.
Yeah.
Like, cool. So if I ask a question that completely, like, almost disregards what you just told me just to be contrary, and then to go down that rabbit hole of contrariness, that becomes a danger to faith. But then it's like, okay, well, they keep asking this, so maybe there is an issue with this, or maybe there is something different or wrong or structurally, like, unsound about this faith or this notion or this thought. So then it's like their way of protecting that is to be like, don't ask those questions because it's clearly not going to lead you anywhere. So I guess with that is come talk to us. It's almost like, are you actually inviting conversation of just like two different faiths, just generally trying to understand what the other is? Or are you just inviting a matter of like, are you kind of like inviting like, yeah, come into this unstable, murky ground that you know nothing about and see if you can swim?
Unfortunately for people who don't know each side,
mm-hmm.
it's murky.
Yeah.
It's never going to not be murky.
Right.
It's forever muddy water. I think the best thing to do is to challenge your ideals. Challenge your beliefs. Constantly. That's coming from a Satanist. That's coming from someone who found their faith. Now, as far as Christianity is concerned, I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. And I'm not sitting here telling you I'm wrong. I'm sitting here saying, hey, this worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Great for fucking me. Hopefully anyone who hears this, hey, I hope it fucking works for you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, I hope it helps you find the fucking vein that leads you to the right fucking stream that brings you to what you need.
Mm.
That's it. Simple.
Couldn't have said it better.
That's right.
Simple.
That was beautiful. And very elegantly spoken. I gotta say, like, that's really the whole long and short of it. It's like, to help people come to realizations, realize certain truths. It's not even about necessarily... It's not about converting people to Satanism, because
yeah.
Satanists, we don't proselytize. We don't go out and convert people. What we try to do more than anything is to find people who already have the suspicion that they might be Satanist, and find people who they know that they're drawn to this path and they know what they are, and our goal is to bring them in and welcome them into this world and kind of get their feet in the water. And, like, I mean, that's always been my mission, at the very least.
I have no mission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, personally...
Mm-hmm. God.
I know David is very similar.
Yeah.
On this, we come from, David and I... When I say we come from a traditional witchcraft background,
we came from, like... Oh, light is a kind of strength of the board, and, the threefold rule.
All right, listen, I'm going to spread this out. If it works, it works. I'm going to throw these herbs in this pot. We're very much so believers in the ground below us, lovers of the air around us. We trust the fire within us, and we follow the vision in front of us. It sounds cheesy.
That's how we started and formed our base.
It works.
Yes.
It led us to Satanism, to be part of our primary practice, but that may not be for everyone.
Yes.
Would you consider paganism for, like, the people who worship the old Norse gods? Would you consider that a left-hand path tradition? That's a question I'm actually genuinely curious to hear an answer to. Like is paganism kind of its own thing, do you think?
I personally believe paganism is its own thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
This is coming from a Christian.
Because you can be polytheistic and not practice magic at all.
Yeah, well, that's my thing.
Right.
Like, I don't practice magic. I'm not a practitioner.
But it's still considered pagan mass.
Mm.
I'll interject with this only because there's people who serve a higher power.
Mm.
And it may not be necessarily Satan, it may not necessarily be God, but they celebrate the elements.
Yes.
They give due to the spirits or the gods or whatever it is that exists in general.
I've met a lot of those types in my time,
But they're not necessarily one or the other. If anything, they straddle the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like to say that they are...
Praise be to those in the middle.
To say, I wouldn't say, like, it's... a satanic practice, nor is it I think paganism, my end point is that it's its own thing.
Okay, that was a question I was genuinely curious about, because I speak to people, like, they say that they have connections with, like, you know, some of the Norse gods and Satan. I've met people who say they have connections with Egyptian and Greek deities. It's
yes.
a really fascinating world, honestly. And it kind of makes me think more deeply about, okay, well, what's the implication of something like that? If someone genuinely has a relationship with Horus, you know, or one of the old Greek gods or any of the Egyptian pantheon, like, what's the implication of something like that?
Well, something like that brings me forward. That is technically a time in our history, collectively. Dealing with Romans and our Christian society. But if we're going to talk about origins of things and how it's affecting our modern day society, I would like to bring us, if we're originally we wanted to talk about Tom and his origins into Satanism.
But we will.
I thought I covered a little bit of that in the beginning.
You did. So, then if we all agree on that, then my next point is, since we're talking about modern time, bringing things forward, I want to talk about how the occult, paganism, whatever you want to call it at this point, anything that is going to disrupt our regular
system of our line of thinking.
Thought.
Yes.
Mm. We have two huge movies that came out recently. One of them being Hereditary, the other being Midsommar. And they're both made, produced, directed, written by Ari Aster. Fabulous dude.
Yeah.
Phenomenal talent, I would say.
So he really brings what we're talking about into modern day society.
Yeah.
I would say that this is, it's genuine, like in Hereditary, for example, it's absolute 100% genuine occultism. There's no bells and whistles. There's no sort of, what would you call it? It's not unsanctimonious bullshit that the writers just pulled out of their asses. This is real occultism. Hereditary, for those of you who haven't seen it, and I guess, should we give a spoiler warning?
Spoiler warning. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Pop culture, our society, things that relate to what we're doing today, which I want to focus on going into why we're here and why we're current.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, it's like you can see the left-hand path and the occult manifesting itself in reality. To me, it seems that someone involved in the making of that movie, it seems like they might have had some Hereditary. I apologize. So, it seems to me that they might have had some sort of dealings with Payman, and this could have been...
This is, so we're talking about Hereditary, which came out in 2018.
And was distributed by
A24.
Which is one of my favorite studios.
Yes, which is, you know, if you have a movie about witchcraft or the occult, it's probably A24.
You most likely are.
Oh, and we should also mention that they produced The Witch, although that was not an Ari Aster film.
No.
No.
I don't know who that is, but
that would be Robert Eggers.
Robert Eggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Fantastic movie. Historically, so on point. We love that. We love any historical points that really hit the marker as far as political correctness or historical correctness.
Mm.
Fabulously done.
Yeah.
Also,
yes.
Another documentary, I shouldn't say documentary, but podcast that has been going on for a little bit of time, is called History of Witchcraft. Fantastic.
And who's that by?
Samuel Huell. He's on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
Anchor, and I believe YouTube as well, but it's called The History of Witchcraft. Really, really organic stuff. I introduced you
yes.
to him.
Yes, and
yeah.
I gotta say I was really, really fascinated by the author of the podcast, Samuel. He really pulls you in by your eyelids and brings in historical accuracy and real living documents to the equation, so you get a full, well-researched, very well-documented history of witchcraft. So I would recommend that to anyone who's interested in that sort of thing, and I highly recommend you check it out. It's available on, I found it on YouTube, it's available on Spotify.
We have some really current occult things in our pop culture.
Yes. You're seeing it more prevalent than ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, legitimate occultism.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, like Slayer occultism where it's like pentagrams and fire and demons. It's
raining
this
blood.
Is, yeah, this is
or,
you know, the real deal,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. Organic things, beautiful things. David,
like,
talk to me.
Yes. You know, case in point, Midsommar, that was straight occultism,
right.
In the vein of the Wicker Man, very classic,
yep.
Rooted in ancient traditions,
right.
No extra bullshit, very classic magic, like the love spell.
Love that love spell.
Like a fable, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Sort of?
Right.
I mean, it was
that's
a
the
pure
point.
Fable.
Mm-hmm.
Very
that's the point.
Yeah.
Grim old, like Grimm's fairy tale, excuse me. If you look at it from that point of view, very dark, dreary opening, muted colors, and then when you hit speed and bright, beautiful plains, green, blue, white, yellow.
It takes those tropes and it inverts them into
yes.
a horror story. It's like you said, daylight, white, and blue, and green. But at the same time, you can't shake the feeling watching the whole movie that there's something undeniably disturbing going
yes.
on behind the background. You said something interesting about it being... what was it you were just saying about Midsommar? Is that it's very genuine to, like, in the sense of it being a fable?
Yes, it's like a straight Grimm's fairy tale, if
well,
you look at it.
This is the point that I make to people about The Witch, is that The Witch, in the when you see the opening of it, which says the Vivitch, because it's got that cool spelling about it.
Yeah,
the Vivitch.
You like that
they put underneath
baby.
It...
You
put,
like that, baby!
I'm
sorry, I can't.
Don't worry about
it. But underneath it, they say The Witch, a New England folk tale, which means it's very exclusively...
It's
like,
a fable.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a folktale like they would tell back in the day about, oh, this is the family that strayed away from God and they went out into the woods
yeah,
and
like
the devil seduced them.
It's a very scary story to keep people in line.
Yeah, the type
like,
of story that you would tell children back in those days. Because The Witch takes place in pre-colonial, like, not pre-colonial, obviously, but in, I would say... I would say in early colonial America when the first Puritans were settling what year was that exactly? I don't want to say...
17...
No, not 17. It was before that. I want to say this movie takes place in the 15
or
16...
It was the late 1500s.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to know, is like the sort of time period. So, and here's another amazing thing about The Witch, too, that I really love. Again, just going into all the authentic details, they looked at transcripts from actual writings of the time, and they constructed the script out of that. They looked at the way people wrote, because this is actually an interesting thing. The Puritans, because of their, well, puritanical belief systems, they weren't really allowed to indulge in art of any kind.
No.
One of the only forms of art they were allowed to really indulge in was writing. So they wrote really vividly and fascinatingly, and so there's a lot of really well-preserved documentation from the time, which is fantastic, because they used it to write a script that is so authentic. You really feel like you're there, I'd say.
Well, to bring that to current times, which I think, David, if you could finish my sentence.
I mean, we saw kind of like the stretch with The Witch, even though it's not made by the same director, you saw that very realistic...
Same studio,
very realistic, occult-based background, and then Hereditary, you see that again.
Look at the setting.
Yeah.
Look at the settings for The Witch, look at the settings for Hereditary, look at the settings for Midsommar.
All incredibly isolated.
Wow. Isolation.
Yes.
Gorgeous wilderness, really true spirit of self.
Is that not the essence of the left-hand path?
Yes it is.
Especially the isolation you feel, you know, it can be just so overwhelming. But you know, I think that more and more, bringing it back to the topic of occultism in the current year, you really are. I mean, you see it right now in everything from clothing to movies, books. I've seen a huge increase in occult literature. Even in the time since I became a Satanist, when I realized I was a Satanist, I first started my path in about 2017, and even as early as back then, just 2 years ago, just about, there really weren't as many resources as there are now, but you can go on Amazon and Google Satanism now, and you can find a whole plethora of books, and there's
films,
you can find podcasts, like the one you're enjoying right now,
yes.
hypothetically.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But yeah, there are more resources available to up-and-coming Satanists and occultists now.
In general, yes.
Yeah, than there have ever been at any point in time. I mean, hell, go even further back. Ask a Satanist who was alive in, like, the 70s and 80s how difficult it was. Like, they'll tell you some shit.
Yeah.
I read a book from a guy who was, I'm not allowed to say names or things like that, right?
No, you can.
Okay.
Oh. Should be good to go.
Okay, well, Alistair Nocht wrote this really great book I love called, The Sanctum of Shadows.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yes. And
the book we've all read.
Yeah. It's on my personal reading list. And he describes what it was like growing up as a Satanist in the 80s during the Satanic Panic and how it was genuinely terrifying because you could not tell people that you were a Satanist or you were likely to go to fucking jail.
Nope, because that's a whole other thing entirely.
Well, it's just a testament to how times have changed. Now you could go on forever as to why things are different now.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at film Midsommar, the whole movie is basically telegraphed, if you really pay attention.
What do you mean by telegraphed?
Essentially, the amount of symbolism in that movie with the paintings and the walls.
Yeah, okay.
The paintings and the walls. When they hit the village, you see that tapestry.
I gotta say, the tapestries were beautiful.
Yes, yes. When they were first coming to the village and someone did, like, a tapestry, you would see the whole movie in reverse. Like, you saw the love spell.
In the very beginning, isn't that the first shot of the movie? They have it on that really beautiful panel that shows, like, the village and the sun and the moon
and
things like that. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And then when they progress in the scenes, you see the bear in the cage.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the person in the flower suit, I believe.
Yes,
and then,
Danny was her name.
Yes, Danny. And then you see the tapestry of the love spell that happens in the movie. And basically the end of the movie. If you look at it close during the May Queen sequence.
Yes, that's the one, the May Queen.
May Queen sequence when they're dancing around the Maypole. If you look at the symbolism in the runes in her clothes, that's the whole movie. Like, you can telegraph the whole movie like that.
See, that's really fascinating. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, like, and the person who I saw the movie with, Samantha, she was really interested in seeing this fucking movie.
Because
she's a fan of the original Wicker Man, not the... that's
oh, no, yeah, not the remake. Okay, I get it.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah. Wait, what more could you say about that fucking thing that hasn't been said already?
Yeah. And I saw it with her, and she was really into it. And it's funny, I don't know. I know Ashley talked about you having the theater alone, basically.
Oh, it was fantastic. We went, we were on vacation recently in Maryland, and it was me, her, and my stepbrother. We went to a theater during the day, and it was like, I think the showing was around 1:25, 1:30 or so, on a Wednesday. So it was the three of us and two other people in the theater, and that was it. That's the optimal way to enjoy this movie is to see it alone.
Yes.
If at all possible. Because the last thing you want is a bunch of people crunching their fucking candy wrappers and behind you talking like, wait, I don't get it. What's going on? Wait, why are they doing this?
It was funny because me and Samantha were going to see it Tuesday because it was July 4th weekend and I just said, fuck it, we're going to release it early.
Yeah.
Plans got changed. We had to see it Wednesday night at, like, 7:30.
Oh.
So there were people in the theater. So Samantha and I practiced. She doesn't do Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
I do, but we both practice.
Sure.
We were in a theater with a substantial amount of people, actually, for that movie, which kind of took me back. Like, oh, wow, that's nice.
There's clearly interest.
It was very interest. From people who clearly didn't practice. They clearly did not practice at all.
You
mean
to tell me the guy with the golf shirt and his three kids and his wife, he's not
practicing
occultist? He could be, though.
Hey, oh. Theater was full of people that were interested. And clearly, when they get to the scene where the ritual's happening with the older couple on the cliff.
Oh, yeah, we're officially in... Oh, by the way, we are officially in spoiler territory
now.
So
if you haven't watched the movie, you're
get
fucked.
Get out. Like, get out.
Just mute this for however long it takes.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Essentially, when that scene happened, when they jumped off the cliff, you know, you can hear you can hear the audible gasp in the theater, and
yeah,
the person that was sitting, that was across from us, I saw her face, and she was holding on to, like, I think her friend or her spouse, like, just shocked and gasped. Mm. And we had people behind us, they were aghast. And I pointed out to Samantha, and I pointed out, like, look at this, like, and she just bursted out, dying of laughter.
I love her.
Started dying of laughter.
I do love her. I love her for the reason of that, because we were in the theater, and unfortunately, we haven't gotten there, but there were scenes where we laughed. At least I laughed.
Yeah. There were definitely some things that, to me, were pretty hysterical. Which is weird.
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah, didn't we see that somewhere that someone wrote
it? We saw it multiple
times. Yeah, so that was interesting. But honestly, for me, Hereditary for me was a terrifying movie. And Midsommar was not a scary movie, but it was a thought-provoking, disturbing movie. Different kind of animal. And you know what? Good on Ari Aster for not being a one-trick pony. Like, really versatile in his approach to the way he does these things.
Yeah.
Like, he really could have, like, I was almost expecting another Hereditary going into this. And looking back on it, I'm like, you know what? I kind of like where he went with this better for this particular movie.
Yes, he had to go a completely different direction.
Yeah.
I remember the movie ended, and, you know, people were walking out the theater, and, you know, you got some like, oh, this is stupid, I don't know what the fuck this is about. But the majority of them were like, you can see, like, they were, like, deeply affected by what they saw. Yeah, so we take the elevator down, and there was a couple that came out of the movie. The husband was, like, making jokes, and the wife was, like, deeply affected. She was, like, hanging on to her husband's arm.
Like, she was having, like, Vietnam.
But, yeah, she was deeply affected by the movie. She wouldn't look up. She wouldn't talk. Like, she was just, like...
Yeah, well, you know, this kind of brings me to my next point, I would think. Like, for the unprepared, the left-hand path can be an incredibly devastating one to walk. So, again, going back to, okay, how do we tie this back into the modern occultism? So, without the proper protection, you can really look, you know, you can gaze into something that can really affect you. You know, you have to really look the hell out when you decide to... Not that I'm saying this path is worthwhile. Point being is that if you're not prepared for things like that, then you better watch the hell out. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is I'm not trying to discourage anyone who thinks they want to walk this path.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
I think also what I'm picking up is as a matter of almost tying back into Christianity is be prepared.
Yes.
Because it is an unknown path. Like, even for back and forth thing is if you aren't sure of what you're going to be looking into, if you don't know there is going to be more, you're going to encounter things you've never even imagined.
Correct.
Yeah.
If
Absolutely.
You don't feel like you are even base enough to acknowledge it and be like, okay, this is for me, or okay, that actually isn't for me. Like, maybe
you
I want to...
You come across very Christian.
Mm-hmm. But it's true, though. That's pretty much the essence of it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying.
Well, you know,
objectively,
it's a very Christian perspective, though.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that, because this is you as a Satanist, almost posing a Christian perspective. You're saying, be prepared. It's not going to be sunshine and daisies. It's not going to
be this
and that. It's going to be something completely
you're
other.
You're going to go through hell.
Yes.
And I can tell you firsthand.
Yes.
That if you want to practice Satanism or the occult,
it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, no, it's not for
it's
not for the meek or the timid.
Exactly.
It's not for the weak or timid. Mm-hmm. It's not for people who aren't willing to look at themselves in the mirror. It's not for people who want to stop when it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not for people who are discouraged.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably definitely not for people who aren't willing to look at the darkest part of themselves.
Oh,
yes. Do the shadow work.
Yeah,
but
that's some of the most difficult.
Yeah, that's another topic for another
episode.
Yeah,
shadow work.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun episode.
Shadow work. I've got some points that I'd like to make on that, but you know what? We're going to save that for another time.
Yeah.
Personally, I want to talk about Midsommar deeper, more in depth. than what we're doing tonight, if the audience, if you hear me now, message us, tell me. If you want to hear more, talk to me. If not, whatever. But...
Well, here's the deal, actually. I think, like, if we should really, maybe, that I'm just kind of spitballing here. Maybe we should have an episode specifically where we discuss Midsommar, and I would like to see the movie again if that were the case, that that's what we're going to do. Because I only saw it once. There's a lot to take in. I would appreciate, like, having another...
Bear in a cage.
Yeah.
Bear in a cage! Hey! What are you doing with your bear in a cage? What are you doing out there?
Don't ask.
Listen, stop talking about a bear in a cage.
Just stop with the bear in the cage.
Just
no, but
poor bear.
Point notwithstanding, I would like to have, like, an episode dedicated specifically to Midsommar. I think what we're trying to do right now is to tie this into the left-hand path and how it's like, okay, how's it relevant today specifically? That was our original point of contention.
Right.
And I think we've covered a very good portion of that so far.
Yes.
At least, I think so.
Yes. And how there's always been some foundation in, like, movies and pop culture that involve the occult. I mean, for many a year, there's always been that one... a cult movie that made people go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, for a
and
while,
think,
it was
I
those...
I think we know the movie that made people go, what the fuck, recently within our pop culture.
Yeah.
And I think that movie ties into what we were talking about. It's Hereditary.
Mm.
Another Ari Aster film.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Oh, no, I hadn't... The first time I watched that movie were some of the most, like, shocking and disturbing things I've seen in a horror...
I think it's freaked out, like, a good portion of people.
Yeah, my...
With its, like, graphic, no-nonsense occult approach to the occult.
Oh, yeah, that movie doesn't hold your hand either.
Yeah.
And it, like, doesn't hold... It doesn't, what's the word? It doesn't, hold any punches. You know, you go into that, it's like, okay... Here's a series of horribly disturbing, really terrifying things that are happening. Enjoy the movie. A friend of mine saw that movie in theaters by himself. He said it was like... I think he was genuinely unnerved by it. And it took me watching it with him to, like, get him out of that headspace.
Yeah.
Which, for me, watching that movie, as scary as it was delightful watching it for the first time. I had a blast watching Hereditary the first time.
I think there has to be that one disturbing movie that involves the occult, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I forget.
What was it
when
before
did the Wicker
this?
Man,
like,
when did The Wicker Man come out?
The original?
Oh,
the original.
1970-something.
Yeah, The Wicker Man that shocked
yeah.
over in England, and then, I want to say, The Exorcist.
Yes.
The Exorcist shocked the fuck.
It was the late 1970s.
Yes.
And then
The Omen, Rosemary's Baby.
And that span of like the 60s and 70s had those occult-based movies.
Mm.
Forgot about The Omen. Rosemary's Baby.
Which is basically the story of the Antichrist
yeah.
being born, if you're
right.
into that sort of thing.
Which, if you're listening, I hope you are.
you better
otherwise,
be.
Stop.
Yeah.
What
were those movies that were... I'm sorry, Dave.
In the 90s, you had the Blair Witch Project.
Mm.
And then in the 2000s, it was the Paranormal Activity movies.
I think that there were more in the 90s.
Yeah.
What else came... Like, the 90s was,
I mean,
was big on, like, those,
like... Okay, Silence of the Lambs.
Scream.
Which wasn't a con,
yeah.
But still shocking horror.
Mm.
Are we talking about shocking horror now, or occult movies?
I don't know what you want to call it.
I would say, like, because, like, I'm thinking of, like, shocking horror. I guess at the time, Scream was a pretty shocking horror movie. But I'm too young to really know. If we have any older listeners, let me know. Like, was Scream a shocking movie?
I mean, I'm literally
at the time?
Getting questions.
Nah.
Someone who's...
It was more of a slasher.
So, yeah.
It was a slasher.
It was a slasher.
All right. So we'll take that then. We'll take pretty shocking then for the time.
So, yeah, and the Blair Witch Project, which involved
right.
the occult and,
well,
you know, stupid
the point
kids
that we're trying
going
to,
in the woods.
Well, the point I think that we're trying to make right now is that, yes, this stuff has always been somewhat relevant, but it's never gone into this level of detail before.
Yeah.
So why is it going into this level of detail? Well, that's what we're trying to...
No, I'm going to stop you there. it's gone into this type of detail.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you think so? Like, with how prevalent the left-hand path is now, like, in society? I mean, with the amount of clothing that's available and, like, where you see satanic symbolism everywhere?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
I'm saying that, yes.
Okay.
Positively.
Okay.
I'm saying that because this type of genre has shocked people, regardless of how they dress, what they buy, or things like that, for years. That's what's separating maybe your perspective of horror and my perspective of horror.
I think you're more well-versed in horror movies than I am, too, to be fair, so...
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've seen. But I think that as far as my horror, what I've seen, what has rippled through cinema, pop culture, alt culture, my culture, goth culture, occult culture, your culture, it's rippled all over, spilt in all beautiful little tiny pools. David, tell me a little tiny pool. Give me something beautiful.
I think essentially, the occult has become a refuge for the alternative establishment.
Right.
That, you know, you see, I read it a lot, you know, from the African-American perspective. I'm reading all the time how a lot of African-Americans, especially women, are, like, going back to, like, traditional faith. Like, you know, occult faith, whether it be African, Santeria, you know, whichever you may have, because they feel that connection. Like, I'm not getting what I feel like I should be getting from Catholicism or Christian faith in general.
I need to
you know, find my own path, and if this is the way I have to go, I feel more at peace with, you know,
right,
what I am, what I'm becoming.
Right.
Yes. I have a question of what counts as a cult. Because you talk about that they are going to the opposite path, or they're going to an alternative path, when in some terms it could be seen as they're going back to traditions, to
yes,
roots.
Yes, I'm talking
so,
about...
a cult to me.
Okay.
I'm sorry
I'm talking about
you, David.
A cult or pagan from that is not viewed as the normal monotheistic or, you know, standard that has been set by Christianity at this point for hundreds of years. So that's the perspective I'm coming from.
Okay.
I'm coming from an Orthodox faith. All Orthodox traditions are ritual. I grew up in it. It's all occult.
Yes, because Christianity is basically Christianity basically took aspects from different pagan religions, reinterpreted them to get those same pagan followers into Christianity. So it's kind of like, so we've done this corporate takeover, we're going to take the best aspects and just, you know, bring you all in, you know. We're going to shun all these parts, you know. Powerful women in leadership roles, you go over there. It's all about the men now. It's all about the men now, hon. Just, you follow us men and you'll do right. So that's what it basically was. So all these Catholic, you know, rituals were taken from pagan rituals. You know, your god, you know, pagan gods became saints or demons and other aspects. So it's sort of like, yeah, people are going home.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because Roman Catholicism, the tradition I was raised in, doesn't have any of that. And then Protestantism, like, I've been to a few Protestant churches, they have even less. Like, a Protestant church is, like, not really a church, so to speak. It's more like, I mean, I guess that is what a church is like, a gathering of people, but it's so, like, unceremonious. Like, at least, like, and if you go to, like, a Roman Catholic mass, it's like, yeah, there's a priest doing a thing, and, you know, okay, we're lighting incense, and we've got the chalice, and this, that, and the other thing, here's the host. Which, by the way, totally ritualistic cannibalism.
Yeah.
Let's be 100% real here about that. But
Praise Midsommar.
Praise Midsommar. But, I mean, that's like the thing.
Who are we worshipping?
Satan, always.
Right, but in Midsommar.
Oh, yeah, who's like the...
Who's
you don't know, that's the thing. You don't know.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, you don't
Praise
know.
Praise Satan.
So where were you with your Eastern Orthodox background?
So, I went to church like 2, maybe 3 times a week. My pappy, my grandpa, was very involved with the church. He was a fabulous man. Fabulous. Fought in World War II. Provided a roof over my head. And also brought me into a spiritual realm. And that spiritual realm was Eastern Orthodoxy. And I loved it. I still love it. Can't say that I don't love it. Growing up, it was very difficult for me to fully accept certain things that I was taught. Certain things that were required of me, I butted against. I tried to appease the saints, which were almost, in a weird way, like deities to me. They were bizarre, small deities that related to me in this manner. I just wanted to get closer to my spirituality. And the only place at that time I felt like I knew how to do what I was taught to was pray to God. Or pray to what I thought was my God. I worshipped the dirt. I dug up insects. I felt them in my hands. I killed them. I played with them. After that, I tried to learn who I was. Why was I doing that? Why was I playing with these things? What made me me? What made them them? I learned it was much deeper. I don't think I have the answer. I don't think I have the answer for what is Eastern Orthodoxy. I don't have the answer for being Orthodox or being raised in an Orthodox environment. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to know what it is. I find it unappealing. I find a Christian God unappealing. I find that way of doing things very unappealing. I don't think my way of doing things. It's unfortunate that this microphone and this setup was left with me. Because I'm going to sit here and tell you all of the things that I hate about our society and that I hate about our religion. I hate Orthodox society. It's closed. It's cut off for most people. And that pains me. I want people to see the history, the richness of what it was like to be raised in an Eastern Orthodox or Southern Eastern Orthodox society. It's bizarre, whether you're Greek, Russian, I don't know. What is the line that separates West Europe from East Europe? Whatever that bizarre line is, whatever that stupid line is. Fuck it. What do you believe in? These things from Orthodox society are derived from traditional practices. These things don't come out of the blue. Lighting a Christmas tree, saying a prayer, lighting a candle, bowing down, bending your knees, washing on Sunday, washing yourself in front of a full moon. These things are common practices that have been done for our society for many years, whether you like it or not, whether it aligns with your faith or your God. Just remember, you'll bathe, die, get buried under the same moon and sun. And there are things that correlate between your religion, his religion, my religion, the person behind me, whoever. They all correlate.
Wow, that was fucking awesome.
And I think that is a good portion to wrap the night up.
Yeah, I would say so. I think
yes.
That's a the yeah, how the hell do we follow that up? That was righteous, sister.
Essentially, we're back. So continue to follow us on Instagram. Email us. We're on almost every damn platform at this point. So, yes. Go ahead and email us if you have any questions. We're going to try and get in some interviews with some amazing guests. We have Tom, who's welcomed on this journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a real pleasure. I'm looking forward to doing this again.
Don't worry, you will.
Whether you like it or not.
Yes. You are trapped.
Well, to be quite honest, there's nowhere else I'd rather be trapped.
Yes.
And we'd like to thank our guests, too.
Yes, Ebotany and the Silent Stranger. Imani, who has his thumbs up.
All right.
You good?
I think everyone's good.
And we will see you next time.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, Lucifer. Praise Lilith. Praise Beelzebub.
Have a good night. I don't see why that we have to, like, fucking search for aliens in America. Why?
Because there's a great chance that we might be not alone in this universe.
That's great.
Alone.
That's great. That's perfectly well and good. But I don't think storming Area 51 is the logical solution to all this.
Here's the thing. We know that. They don't. So we have the advantage of saying, dude, go for it. Let us know what happens.
I don't think advertising this shit on Facebook is a good idea.
I think it is, because then they'll know that we're serious and we mean business.
And then they compare and shoot all the dumbass people.
They're
that
not
want
gonna
to
shoot
send.
Them. They're gonna send the white people in first as a barrier, because they don't shoot white people. Then they're gonna get some volunteer brown people that know how to get between barriers and fences and borders to get in there and find the aliens.
We're like the second infantry.
Yeah.
Got a dab and you always over into, you know, the bottom.
All they're gonna do is play Old Time Road to go in and get these fucking aliens.
I just heard that song for like the first time.
Are you serious?
And it was terrible. I want to unhear it.
You leave that nice little gay boy alone, okay?
Oh, the luxury. Oh, we're riding spaceship with the aliens back home.
Oh, we're riding with them. She's popping in the wind.
Yeah, have fun with that light anal speed. Probe.
Light speed clap.
There are a lot of people that live off of anal stimulation, so I feel like that's not even a scary threat for these people. If anything, it makes them want to go save the aliens more.
Oh my god.
They really want to say that. God. And the aliens know all the kinks, I think, is where they're from.
And you know how they're going to get there in the mass that they need to? On cows. Because you know, aliens and cows and anal probes.
Well, instantly, the aliens are going to come out of the ground because they're going to sense the cows. And they're just
going to
come out, and I think
that's... They're like,
I think that's officially the dumbest intro we've ever done on this show. I really think so.